We've been quarantined for my work, had quarantined us for a couple weeks, and it wasn't the same staying home and watching and things like that. And I know churches have been shut down for a little bit too, and that's not the same because you can't come, love on your brethren, and so it makes it a little difficult. But you can get God's word online, and that's a blessing. Jennifer, is that me or you? It's me. I plugged it in. Every week I do this, huh? There it is. There's a little loose wire. But let's go ahead and open in prayer. Just that God will give me the words to say and the direction that he had let me study this week. I know we opened in prayer already, but let's just ask God to help us today. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just come before you today and just thank you, Lord, that you gave us this word, your word, Father. You preserved it through all the years. So many different things happened, but you still preserved it for us. I once heard it's a love letter from you to your children, and that's us, Father. And I'm thankful that I am your child. I'm thankful that there's many in here that are your children, and many online that are watching that are your children. But Lord, I can't help but think it might be somebody that has come in that is watching online that have never trusted you as Savior. Maybe they know Jesus, all about Jesus in their mind, but never trusted you in the heart and believed on him for everything in their life. And I pray today that maybe even this message, this little Bible study, will change their mind about who Jesus is to them. This day on Palm Sunday, the week ahead was just a busy week for Jesus as he went to the cross for us. And let us think about that, Lord, that somebody might need Jesus today. They might need that hope. May today be the day of salvation for them. Lord, as we get into the word today, let us study. Help me, Father, bring what you want to brought to the people today. Lord, help me with what I studied and what I learned about you through your word that I can be a blessing to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I like to go over things. I like to keep repeating. I don't know if you remember, there was a saying back a long time ago, probably before my days, but it was Pete and repeat. You remember that? Pete and repeat. And it just helps, doesn't it? It helps to repeat and learn so we can just grab a hold of what God's really teaching us. And if you'll allow me to, in the time we have, let me just go through just a quick review, and then we'll get into the fruit of the Spirit goodness, this characteristic goodness. Remember, we're to walk in the Spirit, right? We talked about walking in the Spirit. Walking means taking repeated steps. That's just not on Sunday, but that's throughout the week. Every day of your life, as your Christian life, you are to walk in the Spirit. And I know that's not easy because we're not perfect, right? We're sinners saved by grace. But with God's help, we can. And if we step out of line, start walking in the flesh, we can ask God, help us get back in check. Right? And we can get back into walking in the Spirit. And so, we're to walk in the Spirit. How do we do this? There's only one way. That's trusting Jesus as your Savior. And as I said, I just ask God, if there's somebody that doesn't know him as Savior, that they would trust him today. And I remember for years, I had Jesus in my mind and not in my heart. My body, my actions, everything about me didn't change. But I knew who Jesus was and I knew what he did. You see, so in your heart, as you trust him as your Savior and your life to control you and the Holy Spirit to be in you, is so much easier, so much better for your life. I'm thinking of my life when I was trying to live that Christian life. It's not easy living a Christian life on your own without God. And so that's the first thing. Jesus said, John 14:6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's no other way. If somebody tells you there's another direction to get to Jesus, there's not. You know, there's a lot of way to get to the church from my house, and I can take different routes, but you can't do that with Jesus. Jesus says, I am the only way to the Father. And he is life. And I love living this life of Jesus. So the moment you trust Christ, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and I'm thankful for the Comforter, because, you know, I was sitting down there, and I don't know about you preachers that are here, the pastors, retired pastors. You sit there and you wait to get up to do your sermon, and you're just asking God for peace, for comfort, for guidance, for direction as you teach and preach the word. And I was sitting there getting a little nervous again. Why? Because that's my human nature. But guess what? The Holy Spirit has taken over. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable up here because of the Holy Spirit. So he's our comforter. He comes inside of us. He makes us a permanent home in our heart. We're sealed until redemption. Amen. We can't lose that. God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, the heart of your soul, right? It's not that beating thing in there, but it's the heart of your soul, the whole makeup of your body. You have your soul, you have your body, and you have a spirit. And that spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives within the heart of your soul. And he controls, if you allow him, he'll control you. He can take control of you. The Bible refers to him as, we talked about this, the inner man. Remember that? The inner man is the Holy Spirit. So then, Galatians 2:20, we haven't talked about this one, but Galatians 2:20, now that you're a Christian, becomes personal to you and I as believers. It says this, I am crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See that word there, in. That's a big word there. In me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what we're going to see next Sunday, isn't it? The crucifixion of Christ. God, his Son, gave his life for me, that I might have life, everlasting life with him. And that's beautiful. So we get all the power of God, the Holy Spirit, at the very moment of salvation. That's our new life. And I don't know about you, Melanie, my wife Melanie, one year she started celebrating her spiritual birthday. And I never thought about that. It is a birthday. We should be celebrating that, shouldn't we? And we sing that as we sing happy birthday here too, don't we? That second birth is a new birth in Christ, and it should be celebrated. So as you and I draw closer and get more intimate with the Spirit to where we are walking after him daily, we can see the benefits of these characteristics, each fruit that we are studying. We can see them come alive in our life and come through our life. Remember I talked about the Spirit not just filling us, but overflowing, and that others can be a part of that and get a benefit from that? That's what the life is. Remember the first three fruits that we studied? Remember them? Anybody can remember them? This is Bible study, so we can interact a little bit, right? Anybody remember? Monica? Love, joy, and peace, right? So love, joy, and peace. Remember those were all the inner man transformation. That's the beginning of Christianity. Transformation. Transforming the inside first, right? And so those first fruits, God gave those first because it's a transformation. It's the inner transformation of our life. So the second three, which we're on the third one today, anybody have an idea what those are? Patty? I'm sorry? Long-suffering. Gentleness. And goodness. Today's goodness. So long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, those are the outer man. All of the outer man conformation. Conformation, right? Not confirmation, conformation. Now, he's transformed us, right? I hope he has. As you walk in the Spirit daily, as you grow in your Christian life, you're to be transformed. The transforming. Jesus said the transforming of your mind, the renewing of your mind. We are to be transformed on the inside. What's that going to benefit now? The transformation on the inside will now conform us on the outside. Now we can act right because the transformation is the conforming of our outside. So that's a confirmation. Conformation. I keep saying confirmation. It's not confirmation. Conform. We're conforming ourselves, right? All right. So did we lose signal again? Is that me? Oh, it's touching I had it squished in there. All right. So God offers the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. All right. I thought that picture was perfect for Palm Sunday. We're getting ready for this week. And you know, Jesus went through a lot for us this week. Amen. You know? And so I'm looking forward to next week to celebrate the resurrection. I'm so excited. Every day, every week, every day is a resurrection. But, you know, the world doesn't know that. And we can share it this week. Definition of goodness would be conforming our lives and conversations. You see that? That's in there. In conversation, the way we talk. To behave predominantly towards others. And if I'm not saying that word right, that's a big word, benevolent. So that's the definition of goodness. How many were thinking that goodness is the same or similar to gentleness? A lot of people do. A lot of people kind of try to put those together. But if God wanted them together, he would have put them together, wouldn't he? He put separate gentleness and he put goodness. And there's surveys. If you would do a survey, they show that the two are identical. But you see, as we look at this fruit of goodness, that goodness is different from gentleness. You'll see that today as we go through the time that we have. You'll see the difference. Gentleness, gentleness is a response from God, but goodness is an action by God, just like love is an action. You see, so goodness is an action. And so when you allow confirmation to take place in your life, that's fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. When you allow that confirmation to take place in your life, that's the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. Will you allow God to pour you into a mold to produce this fruit characteristics? So you see, God gave us free will. We can do what we want to do, but he wants us to be submissive, to be ready to be poured into a mold to be conformed in the image of Christ. You see, a lot of Christians think they don't need to be poured. And it's even me sometimes. I want to be stubborn. I want to be Paul again. I could say Saul because my name's Paul. but sometimes I want to be stubborn. I don't want to be poured. But God said, be poured into a mold to be like Christ. That's a beautiful picture. You know, I like to see things as I think them. So I see myself being poured into a mold of Christ and to be like Christ. And so let's see that big word there, benevolent. The definition of benevolence is, it's actually a synonym for goodness. It's awful early to say these big words, isn't it? But it's a synonym for goodness. It's just like goodness. Having a disposition to do good, possessing love. God gave us love first, right? Possessing love to mankind, and a desire to promote their prosperity and happiness. That's for us. That's for us to help the world, for mankind. A desire. We have to have a desire to promote that prosperity and happiness. So you can't get happiness without love, joy, peace, long suffering, right? Do you see how these are working? I shared that once with you. They work together. God did this for a reason. He put them in order for a reason. Think of it as a quality of one who's seeking to promote prosperity and happiness in others. We hear it often in the world as a good person. I'm a good person. You hear that when you go door knocking. If you've ever been door knocking, you knock on a door, you say, you know, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Or you say, do you go to church somewhere? Or how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And we hear that in the world. But for a Christian, God's child, it is one who yields to the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. Whole different thing. You realize this morning that your new life, this new creature that God created, that God knew that you were going to be a new creature, right? If you're Spirit-led, we'll be molded to act and talk in such a way that we will promote happiness and prosperity to a disgruntled and fearful community. And that's just perfect right now. We see disgruntled, we see fearful in our community, even here in Sebring. Sebring, I found out, is a pleasant place to be. I told you last week, Bradenton is big, and it takes me, I told you it takes me an hour and a half to get to work, right? So it takes 45 minutes to get from the end of, was it Highlands County? Not Highlands. The one next to Highlands, I can't think. Zulphur Springs, I think, or something. Hardy County. From Hardy County, the county line from there to my work, it takes 45 minutes. That's how big and crazy it is. But anyway, so just think about that. Think about the craziness of everything. But anyways, Also, think about this. And somebody, a preacher shared this with me, and it made a lot of sense. Think about a waitress. As you're sitting at a restaurant, and a waitress or a waiter is waiting on you. Think about the goodness of this. So they're just not hitting their mark. They're not filling your glass when you need drink. They brought you, scrambled eggs and you want it over easy or something. And what does that do? That makes you upset, doesn't it? Because they're not getting it right. And so a lot of us, we depend their tip on that, don't we? You can be honest in church. We depend their tip on that. We say, they're not hitting the mark. They're not getting what I think I should give them now. They're not getting their 20%. They're not getting... By the way, you think about that, 20% for them, 10% for God. But anyway, so they're not hitting their mark. And they don't, so we're going to start cutting their tip as they start, they keep doing bad at serving us. But think about this. Think as a Christian, a God's child. What did that waitress, and this hurts my heart now, I think about it. What did that waitress or that waiter, what are they going through? Are they saved? Are they hurting? Or, you know, what did they have to wake up to this morning? You know, did they have to wake up to a husband that was making them go to work? Or, you know, we think about these. We got to think about these things, and I do. And so I start witnessing to them. I just share the gospel with them. And I say, how's your day going? And they'll open up. They'll open up to you. And then I give them a gospel track, and I give them a really good tip. One waitress, she almost wouldn't take it. She was like, this is too much. But no, it's not, because God loves you. And so we got to think about those things when it comes to goodness. Goodness is more than just being a good person. It's being what God wants us to be on the inside, on the out. In fact, the Bible is full of examples of God's goodness. If you go through the God's Word, you'll see many, many examples of goodness, right? Let's see them. The example, Psalm 31:19 is one. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Beautiful. How about this one? Psalm 107:8-9. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And I like this last part right here. For he satisfied the longing soul. He did that for me. And filleth the hungry soul with goodness. You know what he does? He fills my soul with goodness every day. He fills my soul with goodness every Sunday morning when I come hear my pastor preach. Every Sunday night when I hear my pastor preach. Every Wednesday night when I get to hear my pastor preach and I get to make it on time. But then he fills my soul he fills the hungry soul with goodness when I'm listening to sermons and as I ride it to work and things like that. He fills my soul. Praise the Lord that God would want to do that for me. As many times that I let him down, that goes back to long suffering, doesn't it? Exodus 18:9. And Jethro rejoiced for, we're going through Exodus and I think Wednesday nights, right? Or Sunday nights. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done in Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptian. There's goodness again. He rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord did. We should be rejoicing as God's children for the goodness of what he did. The problem with listening to so many sermons during the week? You forget who preached what and when. So I guess that's not bad. 2 Chronicles 7:10. And on the 3 and 20th day of the seventh month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and Solomon and to Israel his people. God is good. God is good, and he also gives goodness through the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's not a production I can make, that's for sure. My goodness is nothing compared to what his goodness is. I think there's a verse in there that says, goodness, my goodness is like filthy rags, something like that, right? So I'm paraphrasing. Here's a big one here, and I want to spend a little time on this one today. But we could continue, couldn't we? We could go for another hour on or more on God's verses of God's goodness, couldn't we? Well, let's look at these here. First, let's look at this. Have you ever noticed there's a trend in the verses that we just saw? This kind of goodness is parallel with the fruit of the Spirit, love. I was trying to share that as we were going through them. Goodness is actually an outer demonstration of the inner yielding to the fruit of the Spirit, love. So beautiful how God orchestrates everything in His Word, isn't it? It's so beautiful how He put them all in line like that. I can't get over that. You think, you keep saying that. Well, I can't get over that. I can't get over that. Love was first. We have to love so we can have joy. And we have to have, and then we get to have joy to be have peace and then long suffering, you know. So it's amazing what God did for us. One of the best passages is right here, well known to many people, especially at funerals, right? That speaks of God's goodness is found in Psalm 23. So let's look at that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. How beautiful. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Not just the paths of righteousness, but for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I believe that we've seen some dark days, right? And we don't need to fear because God's in control. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, well, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Here it is. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Amen. And so, did you pay close attention, though, as we were reading that? David's closing statement there, he directly points out that this goodness is undeserved. This goodness that we have if we're a child of God because the Spirit lives in, this goodness is undeserved. I'm an undeserving person. I let God down all the time. I once heard a sermon that the pastor was a really good illustrator. And he said, you know, Jesus was crucified on the cross. He was nailed to the cross for you and I, for all eternity, right? For all eternity. He said, do you realize every time you sin, you put another nail in? You're crucifying Jesus again. He paid for that sin. He paid for that sin eternity. Every sin that I make from here on out, He paid for it on the cross for me. Praise the Lord for that. And sometimes that makes you think. If you think about it that way, you might not sin as much. Right? So that's pretty good. I'm sure you've been taught that mercy is not getting what you deserve. You've heard that before, right? Mercy is an example of you not getting what you deserve. So David is saying here at the end of this passage that he doesn't deserve the goodness that he is getting. And may I remind you this morning? I don't, you don't, we don't. We don't deserve it either. Why is he getting this mercy? Why are we getting this kind of mercy? Because God is not giving him or us what we really deserve, what he deserved. If you read David's life, you understand he didn't deserve it either, right? I believe mercy is the primary catalyst for yielding to the fruit of the Spirit goodness. Mercy is. God is allied when mercy is applied. God is allied when mercy is applied. It is God's mercy that leads us to promote happiness and prosperity in our lives despite of our failures and frustrations. Despite of our failures and frustrations, His mercy promotes happiness and prosperity. A heart that is full of love will produce an action of goodness. You got that? A heart that is full of love, will produce an action of goodness. Not your love, God's love, right? Because our love is we want something back in return. Give me something, give me something, right? God's goodness leads to others' repentance. Wow, that's a good one right there. God's goodness leads to others' repentance. So the last part of Romans 2:4 says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So this fruit is incredibly evangelistic, isn't it? Imagine how the spirit of goodness could lead to a gospel of Christ conversation. If you're going to have goodness, right, toward others, it's going to, if you're really thinking about it and you want to see somebody come to Christ, it's going to lead into a conversation of the gospel, the good news. Are you saved? Do you know where you're going when you die? You know, our visitors last week, Anna and Jonathan, they were here. You know what? I saw them at Publix. I was in getting a sub at Publix at the deli. She was right next to me telling somebody about the good news and giving them a tract, you know? And it was exciting to see that. She was like, man, I got to see somebody I went to church with and things. But that'll lead a conversation into, are you saved? You know, if you're going to be disgruntled and mean, how are you going to lead them into a conversation of goodness or a conversation of the gospel? Are you saved? Hey, you get all mad at them, and then you say, hey, you want to trust Christ as your Savior? You can't do that. You know, that's a double standard there. So I think of this. I think about many Christians, unfortunately, even many Christians. We struggle with yielding to this fruit because of our unwillingness to offer to others the response of mercy. We are quick to judge, aren't we? You know, I'm guilty of this. I'll give you an example for myself. You don't have to. I'll do it for you. When I see somebody that's all tattooed up and earrings and, you know, things like that, I start to judge them. What in the world would you do all that to yourself for? Man, you must be a Satan worshiper. I don't say that to them, of course. But that's what I'm starting going through my mind. Instead of saying, man, they need Jesus, I should tell them about Jesus. First thing that goes through my mind is quick to judge. That's not mercy. They deserve Jesus too. Right? And mercy, that's what mercy is. But God never called any of us to be a judge, did he? He said, I'm the judge. He's the one to judge. In fact, judgment is reserved for him. And mercy and grace are what God commands us to respond with. He commands us to respond with mercy and grace. We are to be merciful and graceful toward people. That's not just a pastor's job. That's not just a deacon's job. That's every Christian, every God's child's job, to be merciful and graceful. Yes, it's hard when someone has done us wrong, but God is the judge. Remember that. And there's many people that do us wrong. There's many people. So let's look at this, the alternative. We often prefer the work of the flesh, meanness. And we just talked, I just briefly hit that. But meanness. We prefer that first. Why? Because that's our natural, it's Adam's fault, right? Adam fell in the garden, so it's his fault. He started all this. But no, our natural response is to act mean to people sometimes. Especially if we're having a bad day already. You know, it's just easier that way. But so what's meanness? You guys think I'm the only one that does this, don't you? Definition of meanness. Refusing to be liberal with charity. Anybody know what charity is? Love. Right. With charity, thus avoiding any personal expense. Any personal expense. That kind of hit me this week, too. What's it going to cost me? It's going to cost a lot if you're mean. It might even cost somebody's soul going into the wrong place. You know? It might cost a soul going to hell because you're mean. Family members. One of my family members, I started out being mean to them because I got saved and they didn't. That wasn't winning them to Christ, you know? So as we finish, I asked you this question. Look how good I'm doing. It's early, guys. Will your reputation, this is a personal question, your reputation be known as one full of goodness? Will you be known full of goodness, a reputation that way? What's your legacy? What are you going to leave behind? That person was good. That person had goodness. Shared love all the time. Was peaceful. Think about that. Romans 15:14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren. Who's the brethren? We are, aren't we? If you're saved, you're a brethren. That ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. So we're to lift each other up. We're to admonish one another. We're to reach others for Christ. We're to be out there in the world and help others. I pray this today was a help for you, as it was for me this week as I studied. I'm going to ask, I told you a couple weeks ago, I'm not a good singer. But as I read Psalm 23 at the end there, I think you guys saw it too. There's a little hymn down there that's been played in churches many, many, many times. I would like to sing the chorus. Would you sing with me? Let me go back there for you. Oh, wait, I got it here. There it is. Would you sing that with me? Let's start it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. All the days of my life. Let's sing that part. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I shall eat at the table spread for me. Here we go. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Thank you for singing with me. I think we should reflect on that this week. It's a perfect week to reflect on it. We can share that with others and get them to church on Sunday, or just even have them saved on Resurrection Week. Praise the Lord for that. Next week is Resurrection Sunday, so we won't have Sunday school, I imagine. I haven't been told that, but I imagine we're having, I think we're having an Easter egg hunt at 9:30. So, but I invite you to come the next Sunday week. Sunday school, we'll look at the next fruit of the Spirit. And what's that? Anybody know? Faith. Faith. All right, let's close in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again. You're such a good Father, a good, good Father. You take care of us. You gave us Jesus to be our mediator. He comes and pleads our sin as clean by his blood. Praise the Lord for that. Father, we also think of the Holy Spirit. You gave us him, not just to come upon us, not just to come and go and convict us, but to be inside of us, to control us, to help us. You give us wisdom, everything that we need, Father, we have, the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus said we can do much greater things for him now that the Spirit's in us than he was doing. So we just ask that you allow that Spirit to work in us. May it be full. May it be overflowing to others as we go out in the world. Father, I think of the next service. May your hand be upon it. May visitors come. May church members come. May we celebrate Palm Sunday, Father. May we just thank you for this week, what you've given us. Be with our pastor as he brings the word. Give him the exact words to say. May we see many souls come to Christ because of Independent Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this Sunday school class and the attention that they give. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
I'm doing. I told him it's visit that I didn't know. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Hi.